prayers. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. That song that we used to open with, "More About Jesus, What I Know." That should be our desire every day. Is that, you know, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and what?
Learn
of me." Now, is that just on Sunday?
Every day.
Every day?
Every day.
Oh, now, really?
Sunday.
Every day? Okay, so let's take it to that. So how are we doing on that? Have we learned something every day about our Lord? Well, that's a good start to have questions. You know, if we would just stop and think, you know, the Bible tells us that he daily loads us with benefits. Now, God does, and we'll get into perhaps some of this a little bit, but God doesn't deal with scarcity. He's generous. He's gracious. He's all-powerful. He knows everything we need. He's able to supply it, and he's so gracious and loving. So if nothing else, as he daily loads us with benefits, if we would just stop and take note of it, we'd have something to thank him for. And what we could learn from that is that we could have more experience with his faithfulness to us, his goodness to us, and that would give us even more reason to rejoice and to praise his holy name. Just by virtue of the fact that he continues to be faithful, just like the Jewish people, as they wandered in the wilderness, and oftentimes were murmuring and complaining, and at times God had to send a form of judgment upon their behavior, the manna still fell. Now, God's better than us, isn't he? We'd have cut him off. We'd have said, "That's enough. You go hungry." We'd have said that, wouldn't we? But the manna still fell. And every day it was a testimony to the faithfulness of God. Every day. So every day we wake up and have a new day to live, we need to thank God for the opportunity. Thank God for whatever we can do throughout that day to give praise and honor to his matchless name. All right, hope you found 2 Peter chapter 1 by now. In 2 Peter, a lot of what Peter says in this second epistle is to remind us, to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. But there's some things to learn as well. All right, and in chapter 2 of 2 Peter, there is a resounding warning against false prophets and their ungodliness and their pernicious ways and what they lead people into. And so if we have that warning and if we understand why it's necessary that the writers of the scriptures warn God's people, then our best defense against those things is to know the truth, is to know what he would have us to do, so that when false prophets come along and they start saying something else and they start saying something that has an uncertain sound, and if they start telling us that we ought to be doing things that's not according to thus saith the Lord, you can spot it. You know, that's not the way. We're not to walk therein. Okay? So, the best defense then against false prophets is to know the truth. All right? So, in chapter 1, how does he begin? "Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Are you blessed with faith tonight? How'd you get it? Where'd you find it? How long did it take you? God's mercy blessed us. Now we can grow in it. We can grow in it. But he gives us that grace in regeneration. Then he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. Grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's given us life, and we need to use it in a godly way. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. All right? So, yes, there's profit in exercise, but it's for a little while. Profiteth little for a little while. But godliness is profitable. We can build on it. We can grow. It can benefit others. You know, exercise benefits us. Well, we need to be exercised in godliness, so it'll benefit us, but it also will benefit others. All right? So, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. About to mix that with something else Peter said earlier. He's called us to glory and virtue. All right? Whereby given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers. Partakers. That's the emphasis there. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There's so much corruption in this world that is a result of the following after the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Okay? Bless your hearts, if we're partakers of the divine nature, and if we partake of those things each day, bless your hearts, we can grow in grace, and our mind and our heart will be exercised in the good things of God. All right? And then he says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add. And I want to spend some time tonight. You know, we've talked about this passage from time to time, but adding, when Peter begins to talk about adding to your faith, he's got seven things listed here. The Holy Spirit inspired him to pin these things down. Seven things. Now, seven sounds mighty complete to me. You know now what the number seven means? It's a complete number. It's completion. All right? So there's seven things. Now, I'm sure there could be 77 things if you were to get more specific about some things. But I believe that I'm persuaded here, because of the way it starts and the way this passage ends, that if we will concentrate on trying to add these seven things he talks about, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 11. So that's what we find. He tells us to add, and he tells us what the result will be if, in our day-to-day lives, we're reading the scriptures and trying to add these things. All right? Not that we're going to decide, well, let's see now. You know, one of them is patience. And not that we're going to just decide that we're going to be more patient, but it would be good to remember that Peter says we need to add more patience, so that as we go through the trials of each day, we'll remember, now, wait a minute. Patience is one of those things that Peter said we need to be adding to our faith. And just the remembrance of the Word of God and its instruction will help us to do a better job of trying to be patient. Don't you think? It ought to. Okay, it ought to. All right, so add to your faith. Now, he's talking about adding to your faith. So he starts from the position of we've obtained like precious faith. It's what he's already said in the earlier part of this chapter, or this book, or this epistle. All right, we've obtained that. Now, there's nothing faulty about it. There's nothing missing, but we do, just like a seed, genetically, it has everything it needs to be a mature plant, but it needs some nurturing. It needs some nutrients. It needs some time to grow. It needs some sunlight. Lots of things go into bringing it to a full mature plant. Well, we've got what we need. When we're born of the Spirit of God, His seed remains in us. But there's plenty for us to learn. There's plenty of us to be exercised in. There's plenty of us to be exposed to, not necessarily the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. We need plenty of exposure to Him, don't we?
Yeah.
All right? So, there's just some ways that you can look at that and compare. So we're adding to the faith God is getting. Not that we're improving on it now. It's just a matter of growth. It's a matter of maturity. I want to be careful about that. God didn't do part of it, and we got to do the rest. But we do need to grow. We do need to grow. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Faith, this word add, recent days I found an interesting thing about this word that's used here for add. And the English bears it out, but in the Greek language was more specific. And this word add means to add abundantly. Not a scarcity, but with abundance, add abundantly. Okay? So it means to fully supply so that we can give it a noble effort, if you will. Not half-hearted, not ill-informed, but to be mature, to add generously. I think I touched on this already. God doesn't half-heartedly bless us. He provides exactly what's needed. And in this passage, as you keep reading it, if we add these things, like I've already said, for so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly. See, that's the goal. That not just to have some idea of God, but to have an abundant entrance. An abundant experience of feeling the presence of God in our lives and enjoying His blessings and fellowship and communion with Him. All that goes into that abundant entrance into the kingdom that we have here and now to enjoy. The life that now is as we look forward to that which is to come. All right? So there's plenty for us to grow in. There's plenty for us to be exercised in the Word of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, listen to how Paul addresses the idea of growing and maturing faith, all right? I'm just going to grab several verses, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse 2. He sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. All right? Then in verse 5, 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Now, here's a concern for them being steadfast in the faith. Okay? Lest the tempter, he says, have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Now, that's not that they're not going to be born of the Spirit. is not that they're going to finally fall away. It's simply their life and their living of the teachings that we have needs to manifest what God's done for us. Okay? So, verse 5, he said, to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you. And then in verse 10, Paul said, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. God doesn't give us a faulty faith, but it is something that we have to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to mature. You know, one way that we mature is that we can respond to people differently than we may have in times past. Maybe someone offended you in the times past, and maybe you didn't handle it real well. But as we grow in grace and add faith and patience and add to our faith these things that Peter speaks about, one being patience, maybe we can be a little more long-suffering. Maybe we can be a little more patient as we grow in our faith. All right, so the faith needs to mature. And one of the things that helps that more than anything is us to remember and grow in our love for God. Because faith worketh by love, right? Remember what he said in Galatians? Faith worketh by, the energy of faith is love. If we're not ever thinking about the love of God, if we're never ever thanking him for his love, if we're not mindful of it, we're probably going to have an anemic faith. But the more we see his glorious gift of his life, shedding his precious blood, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Oh, what tremendous gift God has given us. How we need to value that. How we need to thank him every day for it. How we need to live in a way that shows our thanksgiving every day. The more we remember and rejoice in the love of God, then the stronger our faith is going to be. Our desire to defend his honor in this world. Because he loved us so. He suffered so for me. Surely, I can be faithful to him. Surely, I can stand up for him. Surely, I can be willing to be identified with him and own his cause. Surely I can do that if he's done that much for me. He's not called me to be nailed to a cross. He hasn't called you to be nailed to a cross. He's called us to take up our cross and follow him, but that's to be identified with him. Be willing to suffer shame for his name's sake. Be willing. We need that every day. We need thinking about that every day. Have that mindset every day. You know, John said in 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love. 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love. Well, perfect love, a mature, strong love. Perfect love, what? Casteth out fear. What does that mean? I heard a good object lesson one time. A mother and child standing on the bank of a river. The mother couldn't swim. And the child got too close and fell in. And that mother went in after that child. Well, she couldn't swim. Why in the world would she jump in the water? Because she loved the child more than she feared the water. Perfect love casteth out fear. She wasn't thinking about the fear. She was thinking about her child. And the more we think about what God's done for us, the more we think about how precious he is, the more we think about what he's done for us, the less fear we have in being faithful to him. Faithful to him. So faith and love. God's given us. We love him because what? He first loved us. He's given us like precious faith. So he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now use it. Honor him. Serve him. Be faithful to him. And let it show. That's how you let your light shine. That's how you let it shine. All right? So, what are we supposed to add? He's given us the love. He's given us the faith. Now, what are we supposed to add? Add to your faith virtue. And I've already touched on a lot of what this virtue is all about. Virtue, that courage and conviction to be faithful, even to do heroic deeds. By that I mean that we're willing to honor the Lord regardless of what this world thinks. You know, peer pressure is big, isn't it? And it's real. But when we love the Lord more than we're concerned about what the world thinks, then we'll be more virtuous, which is courage. The more love, the more courage. Think about it for just a moment. More love. You know, think about as your love grows greater and greater for someone. You know, just take an earthly relationship. The more you love them, then the more interest you'll have in them, right? The more willing you are to identify with them and to be identified with them and to be associated with them, the more you love them, the more you want to be around them, the more you want to be involved in what they're doing, the more you want to be a bigger part of their life. This virtue, add virtue. This virtue, it's not just good quality. It's courage. It's courage because of a love. It's courage because there's a love there that casts out fear, and we're willing to stand up and be faithful to the one that loved us and gave himself for us. That's the kind of virtue we're talking about here. Now, so if you've got that great love, and God is so good to us and so faithful every day, if we'll just take note of those tokens of his affection that he gives us every day, it'll help us to grow in our love for him. Because there's so many reminders that he gives us each day for us to remember how much he loves us. See, we've said it many times, his love for us can't be any greater. But our love for him can grow. Our love for him can mature. Our love for him can be greater. All right? So, with that, this is one of the things Peter says to add to your faith. So, how would that make us act differently? If we're growing in our love for him and we want to be faithful to him, then what is it about that that we're willing to do to be to add that to our faith? Are we more willing to own his cause before men? Are we more willing to let our light shine before men? You know, just think about it. You know, this is one of the seven things, but as we think about that one thing, then how will it cause us to act differently, you know, as we learn more about this and learn more about how we're to add this to our faith, then what are we going to do that's different than we would have acted without knowing that? That's how we're going to add it. You know, are we going to be more willing to be faithful to him, say out in public, or more willing to own his cause? You know, and growing up, that's a confession's good for the soul. Not good for the reputation, but it's good for the soul. I remember times around schoolmates not being so willing to resist what they were doing. You know, that peer pressure to go along with friends and do the things they want to do. But as we grow and as we understand, he loves us far more than those friends ever will. Mm-hmm. We need to be faithful to him first and foremost. And you know, even if they don't like it, if we're faithful to him first and foremost, it's possible that we could be a blessing and a benefit to them just simply by doing what's right. He may be starting to work on their hearts. And that boldness that we might show as we're adding to our faith, that virtue, that courage, that boldness just might help somebody else do what's right instead of following along with the crowd. Haven't you ever been inspired by someone else's boldness? I have. I certainly have. And I finally came to the point I realized, hey, I could be that person that's bold. God's blessed me to know him and love him and to know what he's done for me. Why don't I be that person that's bold? It might encourage somebody else. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. If we be faithful to him, he's faithful to us. Virtue. Then he says, and to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge. It really is true, to know him is to love him. Now, I've heard that expression in the world, but it certainly is true with the Lord. If we're blessed to know him, because he revealed himself to us, but if we're blessed to know him, then we see what there is to love. To know him, knowledge, all right? Reading the scriptures, experiencing life and trying the Lord and seeing how he's faithful to us, growing in that experience. Haven't you ever just been in awe of how good God is? I tell you, that's good medicine. To spend some time just being in awe. You think that experience that Isaiah had when in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Remember that passage? Think that did Isaiah some good? I believe it did. I believe he never forgot that. There are times in our lives when God has mercy upon us and we've come to know him in a more perfect way. To know more about his faithfulness. To know that this promise is real. And it's the truth. And we can depend on it. See, that's the kind of knowledge we need. We need to treasure up all we can as far as reading the scriptures and remember what it says and remembering the promises and all that. But to experience God's faithfulness. That's the kind of knowledge we need that helps us. It puts wind in our sails. Strengthens our faith, it warms our heart, causes our love to be even stronger toward him. But that's the kind of thing that needs nurturing, doesn't it? You know, I'm satisfied that Elijah loved the Lord, but there was times when he needed some encouragement. There was times he got down and discouraged, and we all get that way too, don't we? Sure we do. We get discouraged. Preachers get discouraged. All right? We get discouraged. But we get discouraged when we see our circumstances and when we see things that we wish were different and they're not. Jesus was never, he shall not fail, Isaiah said, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. God's never discouraged. We are, because we don't have the power to change the things that we, and perhaps, it's possible at least, that there's some things we wish were different that's not necessarily God's will. Now, we knowing God's will, there's plenty of things that we do see around us that we know needs to be different. But to experience his faithfulness, and to be reminded of his faithfulness, to understand how he loves us and he cares for us and he's been faithful to us. By that kind of knowledge, bless your hearts, it helps us to grow. Grow in understanding, grow in experience, grow in his word and his ways. And again, that's the goal here, to grow in our ability to manifest to the world that we love God, we're serving Him. Because by adding those things, He says at the end here, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Not scarcely, but it can be abundantly if we want it. Okay? Let me mention another principle that helps us in this knowledge. Can you remember the time? Because I'm going to step out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that everybody here believes in the doctrine of eternal security. That we can never be separated from the love of God. Can you remember the time when you were able to grasp that truth? Did it help you? I don't know that I know the exact time, but I remember the season in my life when I began to understand the doctrines of grace, and I could rejoice in the doctrine of eternal security. Oh, it made such a difference in my life. There is such a joy that it's like Isaiah talks about a wellspring of joy, or John chapter 4 talks about a wellspring springing up. Every time I think about, because of what He's done for us, we're secure. And we're secure forever. So whatever might happen to us in this world, nothing is going to change what God's done for us. I tell you, that knowledge, that understanding, I tell you, that does me good. Every time I remember it. So there's other things that we can read the scriptures and come to an understanding of. And when we have that understanding, it helps us. It strengthens our faith. It strengthens our faithfulness to the Lord. It helps us in so many ways when we add that understanding. You know, we don't have the time tonight, but we could also, as you go through each one of these things, consider what Galatians 5:22 lists as the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those nine things. Okay? And as you go through studying these, you could say, well, okay, if I add virtue to faith, the faith that God's given me, if I add virtue, how's that going to be seen? How's that going to be manifested? What kind of fruit is going to come forth from that? Would there be more love? Well, that's what we talked about, to strengthen our love. How about more joy? Would there be more joy in our life if we're more bold to be faithful to God? I have experienced that lots of times. And be willing to be faithful to God in the presence of some where I didn't have any idea where they had any knowledge of God. I didn't know if the fear of the Lord was in that place or not. But I was going to be faithful to God. And it was blessed. And there was joy. But there have been other times I can think of back in my life when I wasn't bold to be faithful to God. I didn't have that joy. I didn't have it. Spirit was there, but it wasn't rejoicing. It was condemning me. So yes, we can look at these things are going to manifest themselves in our life. And we can see how if we add these things, we'll have more of that love, more of that joy, more of that peace. And so forth. All right? So knowledge. Next one is temperance. I think that's best defined as self-control. Wow, we all need that, don't we? Self-control. That covers a lot of territory. Self-control. There's just some folks in this world that just push the limits of your self-control.
quite often. Well, somehow we've got to figure out how to add to our faith so that we can show the world whose child we are. We're a child of God. And we want the world to see God, see Christ in us, coming forth from us, demonstrated by us, by our choices and our actions and our reactions. Self-control. Can you see how adding more self-control to our faith, that we would show more love to Him, that we would bear more fruits of righteousness, that instead of flying off the handle and telling somebody what the old flesh would want us to say, we will be more long-suffering and gentle. And I'm talking about situations where the world would just expect you to be that way. And yet if you're not, if this word is guiding you, if this word is what you must do. You know that little short passage in John chapter 2 when at the marriage at Cana of Galilee, and when Mary told those servants, whatsoever he saith, do it. That is a sermon right there. Whatsoever he saith, do it. Whatsoever this word saith, do it. No matter what we're faced with. Self-control. Well, you can see how adding more self-control, obeying the scripture, honoring the Lord, living according to what this word says instead of what the flesh would want us to manifest, there'd be more love there, wouldn't there? More joy, more peace, long-suffering. Yes, doing that, we could increase our long-suffering. Be more gentleness instead of harshness. That's good. Goodness. That's good. You'd show yourself more faithful. There'd be times when you'd have to be meek. There's times we don't want to be meek. Sometimes we just don't want to be meek. We want to listen to this flesh. We might want to respond in kind instead of in kindness. I mean, plenty of temptation to do that, isn't it? There's plenty of fleshly inclination to do that. But if we don't, if we remember this is what the Word says, this is how I need to be living my life, this is how I'm going to let my light shine. That little light that God's given me, I want it to be bright. You know, I don't want it to be scarce. We want to add generously. So let that light be bright. All right, so temperance, self-control. We're reading 1 Corinthians 13. The comparison to that was not easily provoked, not puffed up. Seeketh not our own. Okay? Temperance, self-control. Then he says to add patience. That's kind of close to self-control, isn't it? But it's really to suffer long. Again, going back to some of the language of 1 Corinthians 13. Suffereth long. There's, brethren, you know as well as I do, there's times we just don't want to suffer long. Why does the Word of God call upon us to do that? Because that's how Jesus is. That's what God would have us to be. In Ephesians 4, remember that? Go back to Ephesians 4.
Oh, there's so much in that, but in verse 30, let's just start from verse 30. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Every time we fly off the handle, or every time we are not long-suffering, or every time we're not patient, and every time we're not courageous to be faithful to the Lord in the face of other things, we grieve the Holy Spirit. That's why we don't have any peace. That's why it's not a joyful thing, because the Spirit of God is grieving within us. And you feel it, don't you? Mm-hmm. You ever feel that quivering in you instead of the joy? Yeah. So it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. In other words, He's given you His Spirit. He's not going to cause us to be unborn of His Spirit. We may lose the joy of it, but we have it. All right. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, all those things. And then he says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. My favorite way of explaining that is the great why. Why should I be that way? Because God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. He is our example. He is the best example. And that's the way He was during His ministry. No doubt that's the way He is right now. It's the way He would have us to be. All right, so we need to add these things. Do we have any room for improvement? I do. Sounds like you do too. So it sounds like it's something we still need to be working on, still need to be adding. Okay? Patience. In other words, continue to show kindness. Satan would like nothing better than for you to stop doing these things. And how often do we hand him a victory on a silver platter? Yeah, me too. That's why we need to keep our nose in the book. Keep reminded. Keep being reminded. That's what 2 Peter is all about. Stirring up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Okay? See, wisdom builds. Discretion and intent are stronger in godliness. To be faithful. So this patience doesn't give in to temptations and trials. It suffereth long and is kind. Helps us to stay the course. So again, comparing that to the fruit of the Spirit, when we're able to add these things, when we're able to make some progress in these things, there's more love, there's more joy, more peace. And then long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. That temperance comes back to self-control. Okay. Then he says, add godliness. Well, I hope that's our desire every day. That whatever we do it in a godly way. Now, that's a broad statement, isn't it? That brings the idea of if something pops up that we're not expecting, we need to respond in a godly way. We need to be proactive at times. That is, we need to try to show some kindness, show some love, show some mercy. Not just wait and only be reactive. We need to be proactive in letting our light shine. Do something nice for somebody. Well, that puts wind in your sails. You know, and if you're not out and about, you could give somebody a call. Just say, I was just thinking about you. Just want to let you know that I remember you. I want you to have a good day. Things that we could do, godly things, that the world doesn't have time for, that those of the world are too interested in themselves instead of thinking about others, that they wouldn't be doing those things. You know, have you ever had one of those unexpected kindnesses shown to you? Isn't it great? Doesn't it just warm your heart? Doesn't it just want you to cause you to thank God? Well, guess what? What if you were to do something like that? Instead of just being the recipient all the time, why don't you be the giver? Doesn't have to be big things. Just a little unexpected kindness can brighten somebody's day. Add godliness. Then brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Again, if we would compare 1 Corinthians 13 to not envy, not vaunt yourself, and not be puffed up. Brotherly kindness. Just kind, showing kindness to one another. You know, we got a city in this country called the City of Brotherly Love. I've always wondered how much brotherly love is being shown in that city. You can hope that from the name itself that folks would think about it from time to time and try to do that. God's blessed us with the church. We ought to consider that a city of brotherly love. We ought to consider that a reason to be kind to one toward another. God's blessed us so and has been so merciful to us and provided so much for us. Surely we can show that to others. Enjoy fellowship one with another. Speak of the Lord often. Remember the good things God's done. You know, I love to hear folks talk about what the Lord's done for them. I really do. And I love to talk about what the Lord's done for me. Brotherly love. So good to have that love one for another, to share it, to talk about why we have it, and good things the Lord's done for us. Charity. Number 7. I think there's a reason why it's number 7. I think there's a reason why it's last. Love in action. To me, that defines charity as good as anything. But not just the knowledge of what it is. I want to see it. I want to see it coming forth. We need to add it to our life. We need to add it to our day-to-day activities. We need to find a way to do the things we do with love. Even as Paul said in Ephesians, to speak the truth in love. Okay? Speaking the truth in love. Speaking in loving ways. Doing things in loving ways. Charity. Charity. It's love put into action. Love for others more than yourself, and love that helps others, ministers to others. That's what Jesus always did, wasn't it? During his earthly ministry, he went about doing good. Do we go about doing good? We need to find a way to add that to our life, that in some way what we go about doing can be consider to, or find a way to do some good in what we're doing. We don't always have complete control of our schedule. We've got responsibilities. We've got other people especially in the workforce, you've got folks telling you, you got to be certain place, certain time, you got to be there for a length of time, whatever. But while you're there, you can do things with a godly demeanor. And it's not uncommon for folks that you work with, you don't feel like being very loving toward them. Now, those kind of things exist as well. But coming back to what Jesus said about even our enemies, love your enemies. We don't go there very often, do we? Love your enemies. And he goes on there in Matthew 5, down around verse 44 and 45, where he's talking about that. And he says, that ye may be. You know, love your enemies. Pray for them that spitefully use you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now, that's not doing those things, not going to make you a child of God, but it's going to show that you are. They're going to be able to see, oh, wait a minute, this is different. This is not what I expect in the world. This is different. Well, that's the way we want to be. We don't like to have to be different, but if it means being faithful to God, instead of going along with the crowd, let's be different. Crowd hadn't done much for us. The Lord's done everything for us. Charity. Love in action. We need to be adding it every day. Now, if we do that, I'll just briefly go through the next few verses. Beginning in verse 8. I'm in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, our goal is to know more about Jesus. More of his love, more of his faithfulness, more of his ways, so that we can follow him in those ways. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, if you go a long time without thinking about what you're saved from, you get a little careless. He says here, you're blind and cannot see afar off. You don't look at that and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. And here again, like we said about that word add, not just add scarcely, not just add weakly, or not just add a little bit, but the whole result here is out of diligence. When he said up here in verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence. If you're going to be diligently doing this thing, then you're going to be adding a lot, not just a little. Okay? All right, so anyway. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, there's nothing unsure about who were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. There's nothing unsure about God's calling of his elect. But just like we talked about Matthew 5, 44 and 45, when we add these things and when we manifest that in our lives, then the calling is made sure to those who see our life. And it also adds assurance to our hope. So it's not that our calling is iffy. It's how much of it are we manifesting? And how much assurance do we have of it? Because if we've forgotten these things, we start to doubt. So to make your calling and election sure is to grow in these things, to add that assurance, and to manifest it openly to the world, so that there is no doubt in their mind whose child we are. Make it sure. All right? For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. And that's now. Now, we're not waiting for when Jesus comes back. He's going to take care of what has to happen then. But we're being told to do something here, and the result of it would be an abundant entrance into the kingdom. If you're spending all your time around folks that are not walking in the kingdom of God, not honoring Him as King, and not following Him as His Word, you're not going to have much manifestation of the kingdom of God. Oh, but if you keep these things in remembrance, if they're precious to you, if they're dear to you, and you're associating with the brethren, and you're showing that brotherly love and kindness one to another, and you're manifesting that long-suffering and patience with one another, and you're doing all these things that He says, there'll be an abundant manifestation of the kingdom of God right here and now. That's what we want more of, isn't it? And He's given us here seven things, in principles, these seven things that can help us to feel more the manifestation of the presence of the kingdom of God in our lives. It's here, it's now, but it's not meat and drink. It's not low here or low there. It's in you. What did He say? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When we're exercised in these things, when we're adding these things to our faith, when we're growing and maturing. And that's why, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I'll not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present. Now, you not only know these things, you're established in this. But it's good to be reminded sometimes. And He says, yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. But look at the very last verse of 2 Peter. If you jump over to chapter 3, and all of these things that He's talked about, and then chapter 2 warns us about false prophets and false teaching, and the result of following their pernicious ways. The thing that Peter comes back to as he closes this epistle, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So be it. Grow in grace. Those things that He talked about in chapter 1, remember it. Keep it in remembrance. Stir up your mind. Keep it fresh. Keep growing in it. Keep being exercised in it. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's so much for us to learn. You know, and it's not all just book, chapter, verse learning. It's life's experience. Experiencing His faithfulness. Being strengthened by that. When you experience His faithfulness, you could find verses of Scripture that speaks about it. But it becomes more real to us when we've gone through these experiences and the Lord's been faithful to us. It strengthens our faith. It increases our love. And it ought to give us more boldness. Because He's done so much for us. Because He continues to do so much for us. Because He will eternally do so much for us. Surely, I can be faithful to Him. Any comments? Or anything I think somebody would like to say? Well, I'm sure there's lots and lots more, but hope I've stirred up your minds. Yeah.
You can't be very charitable if you don't have both kinds. You can't be So just, you have to add all these things, but they all work off each other.
That's right.
Now, I know that's what it said, and that's what you said.
What?
Sometimes I know that's what it says, and that's what you say, you know, but some people hear differently or whatever.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. That's right. And there's seasons in our life when we need to remember part of that more than others. Sometimes we're working real good on some of this over here, and then it's like, kind of like a boat with a bunch of leaks in it. You work on this, and all of a sudden you got to get back over here. You know, that's where our life is sometimes. That's right. That's right. And we get to the point sometimes we say, I can't do this. Lord. You know, we'd like to say like Job, fill our mouth with argument sometimes. You know, when life gets bitter and hard. But he already knows it all. Yeah, that's right. And another reason then that we need to add these things is because oftentimes God works through us. You know, haven't you, like you're talking about there, haven't you benefited from somebody's good godly counsel? Perhaps even their rebuke? If it was, yeah. There you go. That's right. I have witnessed some road rage. You know, in St. Louis, I remember driving to work one morning and traffic was coming off the interstate and you had to circle around and the whole boulevard that people was trying to get on was backed up and we were just sitting there inching forward and some lady saw about a half a car space and she tried to get in there and she just barely got in or the person stopped and she was able to get in. Well, that guy shut down on his horn. He got so mad and he just let his car roll right into the back of hers. And it just unnerved her. But, you know, people do that. So, yes, there's a great need in our world for us to be adding these things, isn't there? And there will be till Jesus comes again. Mm-hmm. So it's right up to date, isn't it? Not old-fashioned. Not outdated. It's always right on time. That's right. That's right. We don't have revision 6. You know. All right. Anything else? Appreciate y'all's participation in this. Good. Okay. We have a number to close with?